Mutton yesterday, mutton today, and blimey if it don't look like mutton again tomorrow, said one of the trolls. Never a blinkin' bit of man-flesh have we had for long enough, said a second. What the L. William was thinkin' bringin' us to this parts and all, beats me. And the drink runnin' short, what's more, he said, jogging the elbow of William, who was taking a pull at his jug. William choked. Shut your mouth, he said, as soon as he could. You can't expect folk to stop here forever just to be eat by you and Bert. You've eat a village between ye, since we've come down from the mountains. How much more do you want? And time's been up our way when you would have said, thank you, Bill, for a bit of nice fat valley mutton such as this is. He took a big bite off a sheep's leg he was toasting, and wiped his lips on his sleeve. Yes, I'm afraid trolls do behave just like that, even those with only one head each. After hearing all this, Bilbo ought to have done something at once. Either he should have gone quietly back and warned his friends that there were three fair-sized trolls at hand, in a nasty mood, quite likely to try toasted dwarf or even pony for a change, or else he should have done a good bit of quick burgling. A really first-class and legendary burglar would at this point have picked the troll's pockets. It is nearly always worthwhile if you can manage it. Pinched off the very mutton off the spit, purloined the beer, and walked off without their noticing him. Others more practical, but with a less professional pride, would perhaps have stuck a dagger into each of them before they observed it. The thought. Then the night could have been spent quite cheerily. Bilbo knew it. He had read of a good many things he had never seen or done. He was very much alarmed, as well as disgusted. He wished himself 100 miles away. And yet, somehow, he could not go straight back to Thorin and company empty-handed. So he stood and hesitated in the shadows. Of the various burglarious proceedings he had heard of, picking the troll's pocket seemed the least difficult. So, at last, he crept behind a tree just behind William. Bert and Tom went off to the barrel. William was having another drink. Then Bilbo plucked up the courage and put his little hand in William's enormous pocket. There was a purse in it, as big as a bag to Bilbo. Ha! Thought he, warming to his new work as he lifted it carefully out. This is a beginning. It was. Trolls' purses are the mischief, and this was no exception. Yeah, who are you? It squeaked as it left the pocket. And William turned around at once and grabbed Bilbo by the neck before he could duck behind the tree. Blimey, Bert, look what I've copped, said William. What is it? Said the others, coming up. Lummy if I knows. What are you? Bilbo Baggins, a hobbit, said poor Bilbo, shaking all over, wondering how to make owl noises before they throttled him. A burra hobbit? They said, a bit startled. Trolls are slow on the uptake, and mighty suspicious about anything new to them. What's a burra hobbit got to do with my pocket, anyways? Said William. And can you cook 'em? Said Tom. You can try, said Bert, picking up a skewer. He wouldn't make more than a mouthful, said William, who had already had a fine supper. Not when he was skinned and boned. Perhaps there are more about him about. We might make a pie, said Bert. Here you, are there any more of your sort sneaking around in these woods, you nasty little rabbit? He said, looking at the hobbit's furry feet, as he picked him up by the toes and shook him. Yes, lots, said Bilbo, before he remembered not to give his friends away. No, none at all, not one, he said immediately afterwards. What do you mean, said Bert, holding him right way up, by the hair this time. What I say, said Bilbo, gasping. And please don't cook me, kind sirs. I am a good cook myself, and can cook better than I cook, if you see what I mean. I'll cook beautifully for you, a perfectly beautiful breakfast for you, if only you won't have me for supper. Poor little blighter, said William. He had already had as much supper as he could hold, Also, he had lots of beer. Poor little blighter. Let him go. Not till he says what he means by lots and none at all, said Bert. I don't want to have my throat cut in me sleep. Hold his toes in the fire till he talks. I won't have it, said William. I caught him anyway. You're a fat fool, William, said Bert, as I've said before this evening. And you're a lout. I won't take that from you, Bill Huggins, said Bert, and puts his fist in William's eye. Then there was a gorgeous row. Bilbo had just enough wits left when Bert dropped him on the ground to scramble out of the way of their feet before they were fighting like dogs and calling one another all sorts of perfectly true and applicable names in very loud voices. Soon they were locked in one another's arms and rolling nearly into the fire, kicking and thumping, while Tom whacked at them both with a branch to bring them to their senses. And that, of course, only made them madder than ever. That would have been a good time for Bilbo to have left, but his poor little feet had been very squashed in Bert's big paw, and he had no breath in his body, and his head was going round, so he lay there for a while panting, just outside the circle of firelight. Right in the middle of the fight came up Balin. The dwarves had heard the noise from a distance, and after waiting for some time for Bilbo to come back, or to hoot like an owl, they started off one by one to creep toward the light as quietly as they could. No sooner did Tom see Balin come up to the light than he gave an awful howl. Trolls simply detest the very sight of dwarves, uncooked. Bert and Bill stopped fighting immediately, and, "A sack, Tom, quick!" they said, before Balin, who was wondering where in all this commotion Bilbo was, knew what was happening. A sack was over his head, and he was down. "There's more to come yet," said Tom, "or I'm mighty mistook. Lots and none at all it is," he said. "No burrow hobbits, but lots of these here dwarves. That's about the shape of it." "I reckon you're right," said Bert. "We'd best get out of the light." And so they did. With sacks in their hands that they used for carrying off mutton and other plunder, they waited in the shadows. As each dwarf came up and looked at the fire, and the spilled jugs and the gnawed mutton, in surprise, pop, went a nasty smelly sack over his head, and he was down. Soon Dwalin lay by Balin, and Fili and Kili together, and Dori, Nori, and Ori all in a heap, and Oin and Gloin, and Biffer and Boffer and Bomber piled uncomfortably near the fire. "That'll teach 'em," said Tom, for Biffer and Bomber had given a lot of trouble, and fought like mad, as dwarves will when cornered. Thorin came last, and he was not caught unawares. He came expecting mischief, and didn't need to see his friend's legs sticking out of sacks to tell him that things were not at all well. He stood outside in the shadows some way off and said, "What's all this trouble? Who's been knocking my people about?" "It's trolls," said Bilbo from behind the tree. They had forgotten all about him. "They're hiding in the bushes with sacks," said he. "Oh, are they?" said Thorin, and he jumped toward the fire before they could leap in on him. He caught up a big branch all on fire at one end, and Bert got that end in his eye before he could step aside. That put him out of the battle for a bit. Bilbo did his best. He caught hold of Tom's leg as well as he could, as it was thick as a young tree trunk, but was sent spinning into the top of some bushes when Tom kicked the sparks up in Thorin's face. Tom caught the branch in his teeth for that, and lost one of the front ones. It made him howl, I can tell you. But just at that moment William came up behind and popped a sack right over Thorin's head and down to his toes. And so the fight ended. A nice pickle they were all in now, all neatly tied up in sacks, with three angry trolls, and two with burns and bashes to remember, sitting by them, arguing whether they should roast them slowly, or mince them fine and boil them, or just sit them one by one and squash them into jelly. And Bilbo up in a bush with his clothes and skin torn, not daring to move, for fear they should hear him.